Breast X, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Dennis, before I start, I want to talk about Harrison's Gate, but let me say a happy International Men's Day to you and all the men of Barbados and those who listen from wherever. I found your conversations earlier quite interesting, but that's not what I called about. And I'm not laughing that it is International Men's Day. I think it's a very important day. And we know that there are a lot of very serious men and real men around who, but let me not digress. I called to speak about Harrison's Cave because, you know, I tend to call about things of which I know or things of which I have a passion. Having spent about 15 years in cruise industry, being involved with the cruise terminal from its inception until January 2008, I've been following cruise tourism for a long time. And I was reading the articles that confirm the new arrangement. I think it's a management arrangement with Chuckle Caribbean. And there are a couple of things that I just wanted to say before, because I was a little concerned when somebody introduced the issue of the sale of the Cave. I don't know where that came from. I can only call it a red herring, because I don't think anybody accused the government, or perhaps in the context of today, call it straw man. But, you know, I really am concerned that we not get bogged down in that. But perhaps because of the importance of Harrison's Cave to the patrimony of Barbados, that we have some serious discussion to understand. What we've heard is that there is a 25-year lease, and that's fine. But what are the details beyond that? You know, what, as I was reading, going over the press releases and so on, they talked about Chuckle to manage. This was in Luke News following a release from GIS on the 21st of October. I think there was a press release in October on the 20th of October, which talked about it. So it says to manage Harrison's Cave. So one of the things I would like to know as somebody who has an interest the industry, I certainly am still a shareholder of Bridgetown Cruise Terminal, so I'm interested if for no other reason than that. But of course, I'm a Bajan. But what are the details? And I've been holding off a while, and nobody called me on tonight. I hope they will just hang up and stop interrupting our conversation. But as I say, what are the details of that? Because it is important that we understand, you know, what it is that we're getting out of it, what we're giving. I've read also from the press conference of Chuckle, and I haven't been in the industry. I also would have experienced the operations of the company, and I've seen the industry of, as a director and a former chair of Bridgetown Cruise Terminals. I actually physically experienced those, so I know the quality and so on of the operations. I've seen how they run the companies and all of that. I've read about the plans to extend the offerings at the cruise at the Cave, but there are some other issues that I think we have to probably get a handle on, because I noted that in the press release that I referred to earlier, it said that Chuckle is a family business, and that is where it started for sure. But then I recall some attention to the issues that, you know, pertain to our economy and, as I say, to cruise terminal. And back in around 2017 or so, there was a situation where the company was going public. I would have to find out, you know, what is the status. I also saw that there were some major investments. So that I raised that because, as you can imagine, there's a difference between a family business, which is controlled by the family,
and publicly,
a family business that may have significant investment by others, mm-hmm. and a
publicly
company.
Traded company, yeah,
right.
With directors, so, etc., yeah.
Right. So that to me raises some other issues, and I'll tell you why.
Let me ask you this before you go there. One of the things I noticed from reading, well, today's newspaper in particular, is the fact that the Minister of Tourism compared it, says almost identical to the arrangements for the Barbados Hilton. But I don't know what those arrangements are, because I know that the Hilton is a management company, but I can't tell you that I know whether the government pays Hilton a management fee of, let's say, $200,000. I don't know if, as part of the deal, Hilton advertises Barbados to a maximum of $10 million per year as part of the deal. So the details of some of these government and management companies' arrangement, going back to Copthorne, Wyndham, Hilton, all the companies that have worked with government properties, going back to the days of Haywoods and other properties, I don't know that those details have been public knowledge. And therefore, if you're saying that the cave will be managed in like manner, then what's the management fee? Who's paying it? Are there conditions attached? Yes, they're investing $9 million in upgrade and putting in zip line and other attractions. But the other part of the deal, the benefit to Barbados, and how we benefit from this arrangement, is what has not, that I have not seen detailed in the kind of manner that perhaps would make Barbadians feel a little more comfortable. Yes, ma'am.
I agree with Joey. In fact, what I would say in relation to a management agreement, there's no standard management agreement. Some are limited, some are very comprehensive. You look to see what is the contribution of the country in the case of Barbados, the owner, the Hilton, or the cave. What exactly are we giving? And what are they giving us to get whatever? So that is an issue. So there are a couple of things. The details of the lease or the management agreement, and therefore tied to that, what will be the role of the Caves of Barbados Limited
Company,
which is chaired by MP Ralph Thorne. What will be that company's role having entered into this agreement? The second thing that I wanted to stress, and I've touched on the issue of family business versus a public company, if they have continued to go in that direction or plan to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. Because as a public company, takeovers and all kind of things can happen.
Correct.
Because depending on who invests and who ends up probably controlling majority interest. The other thing in terms of
ICBL classic example.
Thank you very much. the other thing is that it my market intelligence, or what we would call industry intelligence, has suggested to me that beyond Portland private equity that has invested in the company on a couple occasions and so on, and that may control significant interest. I believe that's a Jamaican company. But I've also been hearing about the possibility of Mexican investment. And so, you see, 25 years from now, who controls the company that has the management contract? And the importance of that will depend on the content
of the
25-year, that agreement that spans 25 years.
Yeah, correct.
So I really would like, and the other thing is that, you know, I know that some people are very gifted with words, and Minister Cummins, I can tell you, is very gifted with words, and I read a lot of the flurry language that she puts out there, and it sounds good, but I dig a little deeper. And the other issue, because there's a point she made, it is tangential to, well, not necessarily tangential, but It is an additional issue, because the inference from the article, or the information shared in the press for her contribution, was that this company, because of its interaction with, its relationship with cruise lines and so on, can probably bring all this additional business to Barbados. But I will say this. A decision of a cruise ship to come to a destination is a function of an itinerary.
Yeah.
And even though Chaka has great operations, it operates in Jamaica, it operates in Belize, it operates in Dominican Republic, Turks and Caicos, they are not part of the what you call the southern itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they have or plan to have investment in a number of the destinations, some of the other islands that constitute the itinerary of which we are a part, I don't know that they will bring more. I mean, what may happen is they may sell more on existing vessels that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the question I would ask as well is, you know, so that is one thing. But another critical point before I go, because to me there's so much in this that we need to understand. We have, if we look at operations now, we have a situation where taxi drivers, prior to COVID, were complaining about they being shut out from the transportation of significant numbers of cruise passengers.
Mm-hmm.
We know the role of coaches. Now, question, will they contract with
small taxi operators to run the cave as part of their itinerary?
Amen.
This is the problem that I have with some of the questions raised and some of the answers you get when you raise the question. I'll tell you why. You mentioned something that I know from being in the industry was something that I had concerns about. When I worked on the South Coast with a small hotel known as Shangri-La, I saw it happening a lot. Tour operators would come to Barbados and say to small hotel operators like Shangri-La, you have what, 80 rooms? You have 75 rooms? Give me 60 of them, and I will give you those 60 rooms every week when I come to Barbados, because I operate in a charter out of, you call the name of the place you want to, Britain, France, wherever you care to, right? But
right.
Because I've taken 60 of your 75 rooms, rather than charging me your room rate of $100 a night, give me at $60 a night. So as a hotelier, you work out that price, you say, okay, 60 of my 75 rooms at $60, yeah, I can handle that. First week, you get 3 rooms, but you block 60, you know. You can't sell it, you get 3 rooms. They tell you, well, the flight wasn't full. Well, the flight was full, but 55 of them went to the Dominican Republic, 150 of them went somewhere else, and Barbados end up with 3.
Right.
Now, December comes around, you're in your quote-unquote high period, they come back to you, and you say to them, well, you know, we're in the high season, the rooms are now $150. Wait, you put TV, you change the shower to a tub, you add anything, so why the room I get for $60 is now $120, now I want it back at 60. But you didn't hold up your end of the bargain. You didn't give me 60 rooms. But yeah, but now I could fill all 100 rooms for you. And we keep finding ourselves in the position where, because we need the investment, and as I acknowledge to you, I saw on the back page that Chukka is going to spend $9 million, I think, to upgrade the caves and put in zip line. So I admitted it. But having said that, what are we asking for as part of the arrangement? I know they say beggars cannot be choosers, but we can't get to the stage where we keep saying, well, once I get a little investment, you do whatever you want to do. It can't be the response. And when you ask these questions, you're seen as being a trouble tree, 2, unpatriotic, in your case, because of the political party you were involved in, what you do when you was there. And these questions that avoid answering a simple question. And to me, it is difficult to negotiate in this type of environment.
No, it is important that we do this. You see, because, I mean, I know what people will say, and I really don't worry, but I can tell you that because...
But it didn't encourage you.
Let me start. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a shareholder in Bridgetown Cruise Terminal. I spent 15 years of my life sitting on the board and several of those years as chair of that company. So I have followed these things, and I know the challenges we have. I remember... when we were trying to get information prior to World Cup on the arrangement with Carnival Cruise Lines, because as part of the industry, and it was a big secret.
Yep.
And the truth is, if people had sat down to have a discussion, there are some variables that we, some of us who sat on that board at the time were saying, but I hope they've looked at this. But nobody wanted to share information because back then, you know, the company was probably figured that the company, I wasn't a politician then, but the company was not, that wasn't the business of the company. We will tell you what we want to tell you when we want to tell you. That was the port negotiating, the minister negotiating, and so on. And when push came to shove, a lot of the things that we were saying, we hoped they asked, weren't asked, and we ended up with a huge bill because a number of contingencies weren't factored into the negotiation. And one of those contingencies was, well, what if the most attractive teams
didn't make the finals or the semifinals? What would we do then?
And what will that do to people who otherwise might have caught a plane and come all the way from halfway around the world?
Yeah.
So I think that, and I'm happy that I had a chance to flesh out some of these things with you, that we can have some more details about this, because at the end of the day, there has to be adding up and a subtracting in terms of benefits and costs, what is given up, what is actually made available, what happens you know, the what if question. And I am not sure that based on the information that we have, that there's been maximum transparency. We play with these words. We talk about all the promises. But as I said, I've been around long enough, Dennis, to know that you have to drill down. No, they might have done it, and they may not want to share it with the public, but that's not the transparency that's been promised. So thanks for
sharing.
I hope to do my research and share it with those who might be interested in hearing, recognizing that I am speaking as a Bajan, that we want the best out of these kind of deals.
I thank you very much. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling to say thanks to the polyclinic I've been to yesterday. The Wendy's polyclinic.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the nurses, the doctors, the care, everybody. They were so kind and nice to me, Mr. Johnson.
Good, good, good.
It's amazing, man. You know?
Sir, it's not amazing, you know. The truth is that there are people in the various institutions who give yeoman service. They work above and beyond the call, and they do so every day because they know that, one, it makes their patients feel better, and two, it makes them feel good about what they do. Sadly, it's the ones who give bad service that we keep talking a lot about, and that's why I'm happy that you give kudos to those who, you know, did their job, did it well, and did it in a manner that you approve of. You should always tell them thanks when they do. Sometimes those little acts of kindness make them feel better. Same way you felt good about the treatment. Good to hear you. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. I think you may get the final word if you want it. Hello. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson, Mohammed Nasser, how are you?
I am all right, sir.
Good. Before I say it, I know we have no time, but I want to say recently that Benjamin Franklin said, we must all indeed hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately. I read that because yesterday, and I have no time for this, but I'll tell you quick. Yesterday, a youngster I don't know if he's a youngster, was talking some foolishness on the radio about me, about I'm too old and things like that. Now, I know that you're not a teenager now, but you're not there by me. What I want to explain, Mr. Johnson, is that people who... No, I don't live in a glass house. I live in a place that could be down any time. I expose. But people who live in glass houses should not throw stones. So I know we're going to time this week but to talk about that, but I'm going to go into something else. Barbadian people must believe, yes, we can. It is not anything to do with hate or dislike for other people or other races. It's something to do with if you have four tires on your car and one is flat, you have to get it pumped up so you have four tires running evenly. All I am trying to do in Barbados is to make sure, if I can, that more economic balance comes to this country. There's nobody in my age group that can be more intelligent. They have to be just as intelligent, but they can be more intelligent because they never went through the hornpipe like they went through on numerous occasions. All I want in Barbados, nothing more, nothing less, than that black people get a better break in this country, and that too much of this country is drifting into the hands of a minority. And then the next thing, finally, I want to say to you, Ms. Johnson, if the people of Barbados do not have a serious talk with our Prime Minister, and I support Mayor Motley, but when it comes to principles of nobody, but I support Mayor Motley, if you do not have a serious talk with her about bringing all these people into Barbados, if she can, I want poor black Barbadians, middle class black Barbadians, know that they will not build their own land or nothing in this country anymore. Because a man or a woman coming from outside with wealth, the land that's selling at $10 and $15 a foot, they will be able to buy it at $30 and $40 a foot and laugh at us. And then we will own nothing. That's all I'm saying.
But, sir, the only way somebody could take something that you own from you is if you accept their offer. And far too often, the trinkets that we offered for what we own we've sold. Manhattan was sold for some beads and some bottles of rum. The Caribbean islands were sold for next skin to nothing. I know islands in the Grenadines that changed hands for $60,000 in a wheelchair because the owners said, just manchineel trees and sand, what are you going to do with that? Today, it would cost you about $60,000 to spend a month at those Grenadine islands that sold for $60,000 and a wheelchair. Because back when it was sold, $60,000 was a lot of money. Brother Nasser, you do not have to keep defending yourself every time somebody swipes at you, whether you live in a glass house or not. One. Two, you know as well as I know, people miss the message because of the focus on the messenger. Just telling you, that's what happens. That's why they don't hear. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you, John, for taking care of things technical. Thank you who sent WhatsApp messages, the congratulations on International Men's Day, the good wishes, you know, the smiles to all of you. Continue to have a great day, great weekend. Until we do this again, take care.